Oh, praise God. Praise God. Children, all ages, you can head downstairs. The rest, please remain standing and turn to James chapter 5. And we're going to begin at verse number 13. I'm so excited about what God's about to do in this house. I'm so excited that God has been hearing our prayers, the longing of our hearts, the desperation of our spirits. And we're just saying, Lord, we're so honest that we know that if we have you, God, some mighty things are going to happen. Hallelujah, Jesus. I said some great things are going to happen today because you are here, God. I'm so grateful, God, that you are a chain breaker, Lord Jesus, and that no weapon formed against us can prosper. James chapter 5 and verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith. What's the prayer of faith? Come on, say the prayer of faith. Shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And then at last, verse 18. And he prayed again. And he prayed again. And then real quick, I'm going to turn to 1 Kings chapter 4. And this scripture here just stirred my heart so strong. 1 Kings chapter 4. Bear with me as I go to that scripture. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry, 2 Kings 4. Hallelujah. We're going to start at verse 32. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon the twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and opened his mouth, and opened his eyes. I want to preach this morning the miracle of 7 times. The miracle of 7 times. One more time, lift your hands and your voices. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, that we're in the house. God, we are here because we have faith in you. We have faith in your word. We have faith in the power of God to do, oh God, what it desires to do. And Lord, I pray in the service would not be an ordinary service. But I'm asking again, oh God, that revelation would move inside our hearts and our minds, I pray. That a deep work would be done, Lord, that when we leave this place, oh God, we know that the inner workings of our heart are going to be changed. Our mindset is going to be changed. And there is absolutely going to be healing and deliverance in our lives. If you believe that, clap your hands and say hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus, what you are going to do in this place. Amen. You may be seated here in the house of the Lord. I want to first deal with the mentality that has the ability of controlling people, the people of God, and those that have various afflictions going on in their lives. Every one of us here have some level of some issue of some sort of affliction going on. And it is the mentality that says that what has been our weaknesses, what has been our strongholds and our vices are strong enough to keep us from the healing touch of God in our lives. The Bible says in verse 13 of James 5, is there any among you afflicted? The Greek word translated into affliction is not just that you are suffering, not just that you are going through something, but it actually means it is the enduring suffering, the enduring hardness, and the enduring trouble that you have been afflicted with. Is there anybody afflicted in the context of this has been going on for a while? I've been dealing with this for a while. I've been suffering with this for a while. That is something that you've been carrying for a long time. You've been carrying it in your mind. You've been carrying it in your marriage. You've been carrying it on your job. You've been carrying it in the house of God as well. It is something personally within yourself that you have been enduring for a minute. And it has caused you to have battles with depression. It has caused you to have battles of isolation. It has caused you to lose the utter joy that wants to birth out of your spirit. It has caused you to grow bitter and despondent and disconnected. It has caused you to feel that this is normal and you really can't get a touch of God. You can't really get a breakthrough with God. You really can't go in deeper arenas in the presence of Almighty God. But I am here to tell you with all the boldness in my spirit that that is a lie from the pit of hell. And that there was a man who was full of demons in the book of Mark. And it could not stop him from getting to Jesus. Let me tell anybody here who is afflicted in the house of God. I want to tell the afflicted that today is your day of empowerment. That you can know that if you have a desperate heart to get healed and delivered, the scripture lets us know that not one devil in hell, not one vice, not one issue that you are dealing with, that if you are hungry in the house of God today, you can get to Jesus. And Jesus can get to you, and Jesus can minister to you, and Jesus will set you free. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. I want to open up with that because I want to empower those that are afflicted. By definition, when you are afflicted, you don't feel empowered. You are not excited. There is no energy in your spirit. You're going through motions because you are afflicted, because you are suffering. And not that you're just suffering right now. You've been suffering for a very long time. And it has troubled you. And it made you feel like you have no capacity to be made whole. And you feel like you are hindered from being in the presence of God, being able to cry and worship with tears of joy flowing on the inside of you. But the Bible lets us know in the book of James, there was a key phrase. It says he was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was an ordinary man. He was not something special. It was that he believed in God. And there was something that he needed to do in order to get a breakthrough as an ordinary person. And the thing that we find out in this setting of scripture is the Bible says he prayed again. Now let me address the question that's in the heart of many people when you come to the house of God week after week. And sometimes in settings like this, a question pops up in our minds that says, what do we do when things don't happen the way we want them to happen?
And I am learning that that is the absolutely wrong question to ask, because it is based on the premise that leans towards doubts in God, and that God does not know what he is doing. And I'm not going to open up this message acting like we don't do that, because we all do. But hearing the word of God is also about exposing what areas have been wrong in our thinking, and then to be empowered to have the right mindset so we can walk in the joy of the Lord again and being a child of God. Let me pause and tell you that there should be joy on the inside of your spirit as a son or daughter of God. And so if you don't have joy today, I am preaching to you until you trade your sorrow for some joy. I'm preaching to everybody here who's bound and suffering and affliction to say, in the name of Jesus, you're not leaving the same way you came in here, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And God forbid you come in here with depression and you leave with oppression. No, it is God's will for you to leave jumping and dancing and say, I've been in the presence of Almighty God, and he is real, because I can feel him in my soul, and there's something about the presence of God moving where no one else can move in my life. Every week he wants to empower us that I am a child of God, and he is my heavenly father, and he wants to give me an understanding of what that means to walk in sonship, and that is to walk by faith and not by sight. I love it when I come home and Jaden goes to the edge of the stairs, and with no hesitation he just jumps, because he knows his daddy is going to catch him. Jaden is empowered because he trusts in his daddy. Is there anybody here that can trust your heavenly father that he wants to pick you up, that he wants to turn you around? Do you trust your God today that he wants to make you alive and different and welcome? Do you trust your God? Do you believe your God is able? The more we walk in faith and not by sight, the more we live. Hear me right now. The more we walk in faith and not by sight, the more we will live in expectation rather than disappointment. The more I walk my faith and not by sight, the more I live with a giddiness. Oh, the married people, how did you feel the week before your wedding? There was a giddiness on the inside of you. There was an excitement on the inside of you. There was a bubbling inside of you. There were butterflies inside of you. And you were living your life with an expectation. There was something rising in you that you're about to walk into something so good. And God is saying, we need more of that in the church. Where are the giddy people in the house of God? Where are the people that just says, I'm itching for a blessing. I'm itching for a breakthrough. I'm itching for the promises of God. I'm itching for the favor of God. Oh, come on, somebody, you gotta start getting giddy in your expectation about the God that you serve, and that something rises on the inside that lives in expectation. Brother Hannah, I hear myself out there, but not enough in my monitors there, so blend that out for me. Praise God. Now hear me right now. Let me remind the church that our walk with God is based on our belief system and our faith in him. Our belief that he is able to do anything. Somebody just shake your head with anger. Yeah. I believe that he, and there is really nothing too hard for him. I can understand why I could live in fear and bondage if I have something going on in my life that I have no hope is ever going to change. But when I know the name of Jesus, I can say with all my heart, there is nothing too hard for him. And you know what? With all the situations we face in our lives, I'm absolutely ready to see my faith elevated in God this morning. With all that I got on my plate and with all you got our role plays. Come on, we gotta say, God, you gotta show yourself. Oh, I hear the Spirit of God moving in this place with all that's going on. Our faith has to get elevated to say all things are gonna work for my good. That every situation that comes up, every new challenge that presents itself, every barrier in my life cannot be anything but an opportunity for God about to bless my life. I gotta live with that kind of expectation. I must live in that kind of place of opportunities to thinking in the house of God. He is in control. And he cares for me. He is in control. And he cares for me. So if my faith can be elevated to that point of view, I'm sorry. I don't have time to live in discouragement. Pastor, you don't go through nothing. You don't go through trouble. Yes, I go through a lot. And yes, I go through trouble. And so I don't live my life in disappointment. I live my life in anticipation of what God is about to do in the middle. Oh, come on, somebody believe what I'm saying today. You don't have time to live in discouragement. You don't have time to live in worry. You don't have time to live in that place where you know what your God can do. Matthew 19:26 says, and Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Mark 9:23, Jesus said, how many know it's the word of God that brings life in our lives? Nothing else would do it. It's only the word. And the word of Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And then way back in Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? And we focus on that, and we should, but we cannot miss the next phrase. Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Say it louder. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. And then it says, at the time appointed. Hit me right now. I'm going to go deeper. You got to stay with me. At the appointed time, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. When I say all things are possible with God, and nothing is too hard for God, and all things work for the good of them that love the Lord, to those that are the called according to his purpose, there are times when God does not respond like we want on the first time we seek after him, call on him, or even obey him. Hear me this morning. There is an appointed time. I was in preparation for this message, and as and while I was studying, the Lord told me to tell the people that this is going to be a healing and deliverance service. I didn't explain or plan on it in my mind to do it, but as I was preparing, he kept saying, this is going to be a healing and deliverance service. Okay, awesome God, that's what I'm talking about. Directly from you telling me that there's going to be a manifestation of your glory. And as I began to continually seek for what God wanted me to say, he pressed in my spirit to better explain what that actually means. Because when we hear something that we've heard before, we automatically attach it to what we've seen last time. And usually when you hear healing and deliverance service, as I, it is an expectation of what's going to happen instantly in that moment at that time. Can I get a witness? How many today was expecting that today something's going to change? Don't lose that expectation. But the context that I was in, the Lord said to shift your context. You were thinking only that there's only going to be instant instantaneously miraculous moves of my spirit with healing and deliverance. And that's fine, but I want you to understand, I don't want you to miss how I'm going to do this work. God is going to show up and do a deep work, but he slowed me down and he spoke to my spirit and he said, this is not going to be a one-time thing or a one-time service. My expectation is that before the service is over, blinded eyes are going to be opened, the lame is going to walk, all sickness, disease, and cancer is going to be removed, and I'm still believing for that, but God says that's too easy, and that's the problem with too many Christians. They want a quick fix, and then they go back, oh, y'all ain't going to hear me this morning, and then they go back to the same issue that I delivered them from. And so what I need you to speak, yes, I want you to elevate their faith in what I'm able to do instantaneously. But I'm a God that's about completion. I'm a God that ain't going to do it one time, and then there's no expectation for God to do it again. Because too many of my people come to the house of God, and they get a breakthrough, but they leave, and they end up going through the same old battle, oh, y'all ain't hear me, that they came in with. And so he said, you tell them that this healing and deliverance service will not be a one-time thing, but it's about empowering the people of God, that when they leave the healing and deliverance service, that no weapon formed against them will still be able to prosper. If they will have the tools and equipment, they will have to keep on having victory after victory, faith after faith, from glory to him this morning, from glory to glory. God ain't going to do one time. God gonna do it again and again. I need someone to worship right now. I need someone to worship right now. I need someone to worship right now. The Lord says, my people are sincere. My people are sincere. They come to me for healing and deliverance, not understanding that I'm a God that does what is best for my people, not just what they think they want. Why do you think he says it's so important to pray in the spirit? Because the spirit can pray for things that you need that you don't know about. And the natural, we pray for things that we want. The spirit says, I'm going to give you what you need. How many want to get what you need, not what you want? God knows your inner troubles. God knows your inner heaviness. God knows your inner burdens. God knows the secrets of your hearts. God knows the filthiness of your flesh. God knows your weaknesses and your weights and your hiccups and your hang-ups. And you can pray it out loud and then go back to that same old circle. And so God says, I got to teach my people what healing and deliverance is. It's not a one-time moment. It's continually walking in the favor of God. It's every day God moved again. God healed again. God washed me again. God help me again. God worked it out again. If we don't have a level of expectation for more than just a one-time event, the afflictions, the secret sufferings, the sicknesses, the wrong mentalities, the chronic, reoccurring, repeat issues and negativity are going to just come back. Please hear your pastor today. Please hear me today. I know the longing of your heart. I know the battles that you wage. And sometimes you come in the house of God and say, God, why isn't it happening? And God is saying, it is. You're just not aware of what I'm trying to do. And you keep looking for quick fixes. But that's your same addiction. Quick things that numb your weak. So you quickly go back to the drug.
and you quickly go back to the alcohol, and you quickly go back to the anger and the depression and the fear and the worry, because you're asking amiss. You're not asking in a mindset of what God really needs to do. He doesn't need to do a quick work. He needs to do a deep work. And emotionalism, sometimes we can feel God's presence and think we get a quick work done and we'll come to an altar and cry. But then by Wednesday, it's all gone. God is saying, you keep wanting emotional fixes. I want to do a deep thing in your spirit, that when the enemy comes to the floor, again, God's going to raise up a standard. And again, God will open up a door. And again, God's going to empower me. How many wants a continual blessing for God? Not a one-time event. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Not going to the right places to get replenished and restored again. Then he said, I will return to my house. I'll come back to church again. I'll be present again. I'll show up again. And when he come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. So he goes and takes with himself seven other spirits. Can I be real? Has anybody known you've been in a breakthrough service and something happened in you, and then in that same year you find yourself struggling worse than before that service? Can we have some real people talk about it? You've been to conference before. You've been to meeting before. You've been to revival before. You heard preaching before. But yet you feel more tangled up than you were before. And wrong teaching makes us think that that's normal. That's not normal. I want healing and deliverance to really happen. I want to come and continually be changed. But scripture tells me that I gotta continually be renewed in my mind. It ain't a one-time event. It's being, come on, tied to the altar. It's about dying daily. It's about saying, here I am again, oh God, standing in the... You see, you don't want to keep on saying, here I am again, God. Can I tell you, it's all right to cry out to God again today. It's okay to cry out to God again tomorrow. And, oh, come on, somebody, remove your stinking pride and say, I need thee, Lord. I need thee. I believe that we can be delivered in a service and in an altar, but the devil loves to pull people back into what they've been healed and delivered from if they don't know that healing and deliverance is a continual operation of the Spirit of God. Last week, Brother Haddock said the word that he received from his testimony from men's conference was the word again. Sister Barlow preached a conference message last week about being tied to the altar, lingering in his presence, staying and tearing, waiting on the Lord. All those things are connected to healing and deliverance. What God is wanting to put inside of us today is that healing and deliverance comes from not the when you get it, but the how you get it. It's important, because when you find yourself hungry for God, desperate for God, longing for God to do what he said he would do, you can get discouraged if it does not happen at the initial height of your faith. But I want to share with you this morning a deeper principle that God is wanting to put in your spirit, that has to be something that he did from the beginning of the creation of the world. God is wanting us to show that he is a God of completion. And he wants you to take hold of the fact that if he has begun anything in regards to the positive progression of your life, your healing, your deliverance, your progress, is because he is a God of completion, and he is going to complete it. No ifs, ands, or buts. Put a period in capital letters. God is going to do what he said he is going to do. He says in Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That word perform means complete. And that word complete is very important, because we need to be confident that whatever God has started, he is going to complete it. You see, that's why I'm so excited for your lives here today. You might not be where God wants you to be fully yet, but he's not done yet. Stay on the altar. God is doing something. And are you excited? I will tell you, no matter where you are in your walk with God, God is not yet done. God has not yet completed what he wants to do in regards to the change in your life. That's what excites me about the revelation I was receiving. That my healing and my deliverance is about making me whole and complete, not just dealing with traits and symptoms that are manifesting themselves in diverse ways. Our spirits through the week manifest themselves in so many ways, and we don't understand it's a spiritual battle. And in connection to completion is the number 7. That is said to be God's number and represents completion. He created the world in 6 days and rested, or was completed, on the 7th. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land, and there shall arise them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgiven in the land of Egypt, forgotten in the land of Egypt, and famine shall come and consume the land. Thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto these 49 years. And they dwelt in cities of Israel shall go forth, and they shall be set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers and the bows and the arrows and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. There are sevens in nature. The sevens of God can also be observed in nature. It appears that in physics and chemistry of nature are structured on a 7-base system. An example that almost everyone can relate to is music. All the songs you hear on the radio are based on a musical system, or just 7 major notes. I put Devin in also a new music class, and the first thing his music teacher taught him, I'm going to teach you the 7s of music, and every number in music has, praise God, up to the number 7, and the notes always repeat themselves with the 8th key higher octave than the first. If you go up or down the keyboard, all the minor notes, sharps and flats, fit within the structure of harmony of only 7 musical notes. If you pass sunlight through a prism, it only produces 7 colors, 3 primary colors and 4 secondary ones. In the realm of minerals and geochemistry, there are 7 crystal systems. Even the periodic table of the known elements appear to have 7 levels of periodicity. The number 7 symbolizes that God is going to complete great things in our lives. And as I keep on reading through the word of God, I see the principle continued. I want to share, because I want believers to know, and when you understand that when God starts something, he is not going to do a halfway job. God brought you here to complete what he said he is going to do. First one I want to talk about, and I'm going to hurry along, I'm almost done, is not once, not twice, but on multiple occasions, The Lord didn't do a miracle in someone's life until the number seven was involved. Until something was complete or whole in the lives of the ones that needed the breakthrough, the victory, the healing, or deliverance. The thing they needed did not happen until the seven times took place. I said, okay, these miracles of mine are in their own category, so I labeled them seven times miracles. And I said, could there be healings and deliverance in our lives that we're missing out on? Not because God doesn't want to do it or release them. Maybe they're not released because God's waiting on something inside of us to press a little while until the impossible is done. The healing and deliverance we're talking about is when there's somebody that says, I'm not going to stop doing what I need to do until that continual cycle of God's blessing falls on me in a consistent way. I'm taking the responsibility off of God bringing a healing and deliverance service and putting the responsibility on me to bring my own. I'm trying to empower the people of God because you feel so stuck. And I'm telling you, no, you're not. The devil's telling you, you're always going to be that way. You're always going to feel that way. And I'm telling you the power of the word of God. No, you're not. You can be healed and delivered on a continuous basis. The Bible told Joshua, he said, go march around the walls of Jericho once every day and shut your mouth. I don't want negativity to spew out of your stinking lips. And then on that seventh day, the day of completion, I want you to get up again and walk around those walls. And I know you don't see nothing moving. And I know you see how monstrous they are. And I know how you can't do it by your own hand, by your own strength, by your own intellect, by your own ability. But can you march around in faith? Can you make up in your mind, I don't care if I don't see it moving, I'm gonna keep moving? The problem with some of us is the barrier ain't moving, and so we stop moving. And God is saying, march around it seven times, keep on moving, keep on moving forward. Am I preaching to anybody here this morning? Can I equip somebody here this morning? Great barriers, but God said, march until they come down. And this was the first major battle in the promised land. Can I tell somebody, if you're going to learn to walk in the realm of healing and deliverance, the first battle is, how is your praise in the middle of seeing a barrier? You better catch this revelation. I can't stay here all day. I said the first battle. How come I can't break through? How come I'm still suffering? How come I can't get over? Have you won the first battle of praise, of praising God, while you see your barrier? I can't force healing and deliverance on you until you march, until you shout, until you praise in the middle of your barrier. That barrier ain't gonna come down by you staring at it, complaining about it, having a pity party. That barrier is coming down when you say, I bless the Lord at all times. If you cannot do anything, why don't you just clap your hands right now? Why don't you clap and do something? Come on, clap like you mean it. Clap like you believe it. Clap like your barrier's coming down. Don't go through the motions. This is your first step to your healing and your deliverance when you learn how to shout with the voice of triumph. Shout, shout like you are empowered. Shout like your barrier, like your wall is coming down.
first battle is to see yourself. Quiet during the test, but praising in advance. That's your first test for your healing and deliverance. You're not going to take any other battles. You're not going to take any other victories until you learn how to praise God in the middle of your biggest barrier. There was no walled city like Jericho. That was the biggest and the baddest one. The hardest one is to praise God in the middle of the hardest one. But I want to empower you to look at your mountain. I want to empower you to look at your wall. I want to empower you to look at that demon in your face and say, I got to praise. I got to praise and I got to let it out. I got to praise. Has there ever been anybody where you felt like it was just bottled up and you just had to let it out? There was something on the inside like a can of soda being shooken up, but somehow you got to get it released and open your mouth and release that praise for your victory. There's a shout of deliverance in this house. There's a shout of deliverance in this house. I choose to learn to praise God before my first victory. I want to learn how to praise God in the middle of my trouble, in the middle of my affliction, in the middle of my pain. I don't care if you don't do it. I still got to praise you. If I don't get my answer, if I don't get my breakthrough, if I don't get my healing, if I don't get my deliverance, if I don't get my help, I still will praise. I still will shout. I still will glorify your name. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. And as I do, I'm not doing it in vain. When I praise, I'm praising with faith. This ain't a made up praise. This is advanced praise. I'm praising because the wall's gonna come down. I'm praising because I know what he's going to do. I know he's gonna make a way. I know he's gonna heal me. I know he's gonna do it. My praise is advanced praise. My praise is a belief praise. Number two, Elijah's servant, went out to see the cloud because there was something the man of God did. The man of God prayed again. Maybe the first prayer didn't work. Maybe the first prayer felt like God's not listening. Maybe the first prayer felt like God can't hear me. That the ceiling is brass. I can't get to God. And Elijah, the Bible says, and I'm so glad, why does God put these little seeds in that sometimes we overlook, but they're so revelatory. The Bible says in the middle of showing us what happened, he says he was like passions as we are. He was saying so many times, you read scripture, and you hear it and you say, wow, awesome for them. And God says, no, he was a man and a woman just like you who had a battle but had to pray again.
In 1 Kings 18:41, Elijah said to Ahab, get up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. But he heard nothing literally. Some of us are waiting for the literal sound of rain. And since I don't hear it, I'm not getting up. Since I don't hear it, I'm not changing my mentality. Since I don't hear it, I'm going to fold my arms and suck my thumb and say, God, you owe me. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. What does that mean? You have to position yourself for what you are expecting. I gotta get beyond all the issues and all the distractions of my valley. But if God told me something's about to happen, I gotta start going up to higher levels, because I gotta start seeing without being distracted what's in front of me. There's things that are in your face right now telling you it's not gonna rain. Well, then start climbing up a little bit higher and go up to a higher level where nothing will obscure your vision. Without a vision, the people perish. You gotta start looking to the hills from which cometh your help. I'm trying to elevate somebody's mindset right now. Get your eyes off of what's in front of you and lift up your eyes and see the salvation of your God, and get out of your valley. Is there anybody that's ready to climb up to a mountain and start seeing things you have not seen before? Is there anybody here that wants to shake yourself from stinking living and living around chickens and say, I'm sorry, I gotta go soar with the eagles, because this is where I soar, and this is where I fly, and this is where I believe that greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. I'm tired of living on this low level. I'm going higher. I'm climbing up. Every day I'm growing. Every day my faith is arising. Every day I'm believing better.
Now, he cast himself down to the earth. I'm not so high up that I can't humble myself.
You go start progressing, but don't you get this holier than thou attitude. In fact, the higher you go, the meeker you should be. The higher you go, the more you get on your knees and say, I'm unclean, a man of unclean lips, and Lord, I've gone higher, but now I realize how holy you are. I know I made progress in some areas of my life, but I ain't gonna get conceited. I ain't gonna get arrogant. I'm gonna humble myself before the hand of God still. Amen,
amen, amen. Even though I've advanced.
And he went to his servant. Go up now. Look to the sea. He went up. He looked. Said, there's nothing. Come on, everybody. Clap your hands and shout. Come on, pray. Come on, fast. And you go do it, and you're looking at the church like, ain't nothing happening. Ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing moved. I still got problems in my home. I still got problems in my finances. Am I talking to anybody? I still got problems up here. I got all these battles, and I did what you told me to do. I went and I looked. And there's nothing, preacher. Am I being real? Things have still not moved yet. Thought you said this was a healing and deliverance service. My back still was hurting when I left church. I came in with a headache, and I left with a headache. I came in with a problem and I left with a problem. Am I keeping it real today? The man of God says, go again. 7 times if necessary. Am I building anybody's faith today? No. I don't see nothing, but he's not done. I don't see it moving, but he's not done. I don't see the door open, but he's not done. I'm going to go back up again. I'm going to climb again. I'm going to shout again. I'm going to dance again. I'm going to rejoice again. I'm going to give again. I'm going to pray again, because I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. God is going to deal. God is going to heal. God is going to restore. If you believe it, clap your hands and shout. You got to move. And it came to pass. Not on the 4th time. Not on the 5th time. Not on the 6th time. But on the 7th time. When he says, I will not be moved. I will not be detoured. I will not be distracted. He said, behold, there arises this big, black, huge cloud. The Bible is specific. The Bible wasn't even trying to boast of itself. If I'm writing a book about myself, I might exaggerate a little bit. You fishers out there. God don't need to exaggerate nothing. Because I can save by a few or by many. The size is not the point. Point is, even if it's small, some of you got some small things happening and you have not acknowledged God with praise for that little progress. Come on. And the devil's beating you up because you're thinking when you got your healing and deliverance that this big boom should have happened. But since you had a quote unquote little healing and deliverance, you made small of it. You came and got touched, but maybe you didn't get fully full of the Holy Ghost. And the devil tells you, see, God don't love you. You came and you let go of certain things, maybe not everything, but you made some progress. And the devil tells you, see, you're not there yet. That's a lie about what healing and deliverance is. I want to tell you, if God has done a little small thing in you, that's the time to get excited, because that gives you absolute proof that no, it ain't the biggest cloud yet, but it has to start somewhere. And God is telling somebody here today, I'm starting something in you for you to get excited about. That if I've got a little progress in your life, then get ready for a burst of rain. Get ready for a flood. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? God's about to bring in a flood in your life. If you trust in even the little things that matter in the sight of God. No, it wasn't raining yet. And too many of you are waiting for a full-fledged Texas-sized flood. And you don't rejoice until you get it. And God says, see, that's why you can't get your healing and deliverance. You're despising the day of small things. You're not giving me thanks for the 2 fishes and the 5 loaves. If God has started healing and deliverance in your life, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have it entered the heart of men, the things that God has prepared for those that love him and say, if all I got was a little hand, then that's the best thing I needed to give me assurance. God is not a man that he should lie. Just someone raise your hand right now for the little things that God has been doing, with the little touches in your life, with the little progress you made. No, you have not yet crossed the finish line. The devil's a liar. I don't care. That little thing you did is progress. If you're not smoking every day no more, give God a shout. If you're changing your lifestyle even a little bit, you should be thanking God that God is working, God is helping, and God is healing and delivering you. He's doing it. Third thing, I got to move. The Shunammite woman. She had no expectation of good things coming to her. And she wasn't being rude about it. It was actually a spirit of contentment. Some of you have been bound for so long, you even lied to yourself and say, just be content for what it is. So she wasn't angry. She wasn't rebellious. She just said, I'm not expecting anything, so it's okay. The problem happens is when I'm in that place of saying, God, it's okay if you don't heal me. God, it's okay if you don't work it out. I'll get through it. I'll make it. I'm not going to have any expectation. The problem is when you have that mentality and you have that spirit and God blesses you, that's when the problem arises. Especially that when he gives it to you and then it's taken from you. Pastor, what are you saying? Some of you have beat yourself up so much, you're not living with any expectation, but you're content with walking with God. And then God's starting or has blessed you. But in the middle of your progress, you feel that it's being snatched or taken away in some way, some level, some area. Maybe you came in the church, but while you've been in the church, you've gotten divorced. Maybe you got in the church, and when you got in the church, the worst thing in your life happened. Am I being real to anybody? Somebody told me this week, Pastor Barlow, I'm being honest, I don't want to go to church. Because every time I start to go back into church, that's when more problems start to happen in my life. She told me that. People believe that. The Shunammite woman did not have no expectation of a child, and God gave her a child. But not too long after that, the Bible says the child died. Is there anybody here that God blessed you in areas you didn't ask for, but then it was taken away? Something was lost. Something's hurting. Something's void in your life. And you're more bitter because you never asked for it in the first place. And you know, you said within yourself, see, that's why I don't try. Because I hate having hope and then it's stripped. I'd rather just not have hope at all. I didn't pray for a child. I didn't ask for favor. So, I didn't ask for the marriage and it turned bad. My job turned bad. But in the middle of that place, she called for the man of God. And Elisha showed up. And he put his body on that dead child. And the Bible says he got up and he paced. Why do people pace? People pace when they're worried. God, you gave this woman this child. And here I am, the man of God, and I've done all that I know to do, and that child is still dead. Am I talking to anybody? So he's pacing. What am I going to do? Oh my, what am I going to do? Anybody ever feel like you're pacing in your spirit? The Bible says what happened was he laid on him again, and the child sneezed 7 times. Hallelujah. I'm a sneezer. And y'all know if y'all heard me sneeze, you heard me sneeze. Because I sneeze. But I only sneeze usually twice. He sneezed 7 times. And something in that scripture pulled my spirit. That there's a something that was going to rise inside of dead things. That are going to be revived if they do it again. And God allowed that child to sneeze as a sign that I'm absolutely breathing. I'm absolutely alive. And I want to tell some people there have been some dead things and you've been pacing over them. I tell you to lay on it again. Call on God again. Trust again. God is going to do it. Yes, amen. I want you to stand on your feet. I need to close. when things happen and you thought it should be done differently, you need healing and deliverance as well. Elisha sent a messenger unto Naaman the leper, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to thee, and you will be clean. But the Jordan River is nasty. It's too sloggy. It's too gross. It's too hard. It's too this. It's too that. I want to break through. I want to change. I want to see things different, but I can't do it this way. Why can't I do it in that river? Why can't I do it this way? Why can't I have my own religion? How come I can't have it my own? How come I can't do it the way that's comfortable for me? Won't that get the job done? No. You got to be obedient. When you think it should be done differently, you're not getting your healing and your deliverance because you don't know how to submit to authority.
Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord.
You want healing and deliverance, but you come and go as you please. You want healing and deliverance, but you won't pray and you won't fast. You want healing and deliverance and you won't support. You won't give. You won't labor. You want healing and deliverance, but you want it done in the easy river. The cleanest river where you can see your toes and see the bottom of the rocks. But when you are asked to go in places you don't see because it's so murky and you don't understand it, that's the last place you want to go to. And the Lord says you're not getting your healing and your deliverance until you dip where I tell you to dip. Until you wholly follow the Lord, not follow the Lord your way. And you can't just do it one time.
Hallelujah.
Pastor, I tried it that one time last year, nothing happened. I was faithful for a little while, nothing happened. Have you done anything 7 times in a row ever before? Are you hearing me? Have you ever had 7 straight weeks of not missing church ever? Ever? 7 weeks of consecration? Dedication? 7 weeks of every Sunday crying out in the altar? Have you ever done it? Have you ever given sacrificially 7 times in a row? Have you ever witnessed 7 weeks in a row? Have you ever done anything faithfully 7 times, ever, that was volunteer and not paid? I'm looking at you, but I'm talking to myself too. It's a challenge for every one of us. 7 times, Naaman. Not once. Not twice. Not 3 times. Not 4 times. 5 is wonderful. 6 is great. But that's not the number of completion. Do it 7 times. Do it again. Pray for your family member again. Seek God again. This has to be an altar call for everybody. Everybody raise your hands. We're all a part of this. We're all a part of this. We all need healing. We all need deliverance. And we have to change our mentality that healing and deliverance is not a one-time event. Yes, God is a God of miracles. And yes, God can do anything instantaneously. And he will when he wants to. But what he needs his people to do is to daily believe that you're always walking in healing and deliverance because you made up in your mind to do it again and again